Hey, good evening, everyone. Glad you could be with us on our Wednesday night refueling, and glad you could be with us. Welcome to all those out there in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot listening to the 88.1. We're going to start our service off tonight, number 146, which is Oh How He Loves You and Me. Let's stand and sing. Than Jesus does. No one has done so much for you as Jesus. And if you open your heart to Him today, no one will do more than Jesus can.
Amen. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see all of you. Thankful that you've come out, and pray that you've had a blessed week. And hallelujah, tomorrow my house is no longer under quarantine. In Jesus' name, that none of the other two pop up with having it or anything like that. But Amy's negative, and so praise God, Lord willing, that season will be behind us. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1. We're going to look at one verse, and tonight we're going to have a prayer service. And I've got some handouts right here. On one side, it talks about, I just wanted to give a few examples of why we have corporate prayer. If you've been with me, I guess it's been about 3, maybe even 4 years ago, but I taught us, we had a lesson about corporate prayer, why we need corporate prayer. Is corporate prayer biblical? And by all means, it is biblical. But and then we've got about 9 things I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. And you know that's a part of what I feel when God brought me here. Part of the vision for the church is that we be a praying church, and that when people hear Thomas Village, they know that they're being prayed for. One of our deacons was out and about this week, and he had somebody run up to him and tell him he was a part of Thomas Village. They didn't know his name. All they knew that was that he was a part of Thomas Village and was on Facebook sometimes. So I asked him, did he give him an autograph? He didn't give him no autograph. So, do we have any words of praise and testimony tonight before we get going? Praise the Lord. It is. That's a. I don't know what to give them a pen. It's bad, ain't it? Anybody else got a word of praise or testimony? That's got me confused. We are thankful that you come out. If you haven't heard yet, due to rain, we will be pushing our Christmas drive-through. It will not be this Saturday, the 11th, as was originally to be scheduled, but it will be the 18th of the next week, and so we're looking forward to that. I went and bought me a heater just for that and deer hunting, so I won't be too cold that night. Other announcements, don't forget this Sunday school and service. God put somebody in my path today. I was able to minister and talk with them, and God willing, they're going to be here Sunday morning as well. And then our senior adults will be having their Christmas luncheon this Saturday. So be this Friday, I'm sorry, the 10th. It'll be the 10th, and so keep that in your prayers. Any other announcements I may have forgot? Yes, this Sunday is our last Awana for 2021. And we won't be back in there till the double deuce, 2022. I do want to thank all of you for the prayers that you've put in and checking on Amy and myself and all that. Anything else? No sowing bees tomorrow? Okay. Anything else? Like I said, we will be in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 1. But before we do get into those scriptures, let's go ahead and call out those names, and then we'll move to our scripture. And I gave you that passage because I didn't want you to. I gave you this sheet of paper partially because I didn't want you to have to run all over scripture, and you could stay right there. But then now, if you look on the second page, on the topics for prayer, I put the verse but left you enough room to write that verse because you remember, you see it, hear it, say it, and write it, you're more apt to remember it than you would just reading it off a page. So in the way of prayer needs, we are thankful that God is so good and that he looks out for us and that he's able to bring us over things. School in Lee County last week where a boy brought a fake gun to school and was waving it around. It looked real, and he's suffering the consequences of it, but thank God it wasn't a real one. It could have just as easily been a real one, especially in our area. Most youngins know where to find a gun, how to use it, and do all that. It's just the grace of God that keeps his hand of protection over our schools, our teachers, the workers in there, the bus drivers, and we just need to give God glory for that and continue to acknowledge how good he is to us for protecting us from all the wickedness that is out there today. Think about how many people you passed today that was under the influence of something on the highway. You tell me God ain't good. You got just one moment of blacking out or having a spell, and it could have been our life. But we have an awesome Savior. We do want to pray for the lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is the number one prayer. We need to be praying that for everybody. Anybody that we know, and even those we pass on the street, the reality of salvation should be so prevalent in our life that we consider the salvation of every soul that we pass by. Want to pray for the backslidden. Want to pray for marriages. February the 25th and the 26th, we'll be sponsoring a weekend for celebrating marriage. It'll be on that Friday night, beginning at 6 o'clock. A meal will be provided, and we'll have a session after that. Then the next day at 8 o'clock, we'll begin with a simple breakfast. You don't have to come to that, but at 9 o'clock, we'll be kicking it off, the second session, and go until probably around lunchtime. Also, we're going to be reaching out to two other churches to ask them to be a part of it. But right now, we're getting the sign up and all that ready. So if you have a church that you think would want to be involved with it, and no, we're not asking them for money or anything like that, but marriages are being fought. And we've got to understand that marriage is the basic building block of any society. Specifically a Judeo-Christian society, because after a husband and a wife, there's only one relationship that's greater than that, and that is the Creator with his creation. We see that in Adam and God, but then the next most important relationship is that between husband and wife, and then the third important relationship, what do you think that is? Parents to child. Parents, the child, because in that, in what you find there in husband and wife and children is the founding block of a stable society. You look, America is becoming less and less stable, but also the home is becoming less and less defined as a mama, a daddy, and their children, isn't it? And you see, you pull out that building block, everything else on top of it begins to fall. Matter of fact, I think that our next study is going to be the first 11 chapters of Genesis, because if you have a problem believing the first 11 chapters of Genesis, then you're going to have a problem with everything else, I promise you. But if you believe those first, if you take that first 11, because what we have there is we have creation, we have the roles of men, women, and children clearly defined, we have the judgment of God that falls down upon it, and in that we see that we can trust that there's coming another judgment. The issue of pride and men trying to come together so that they can be equal to God. Remember at the Tower of Babel, they wanted to. So see, there's a lot that's involved there. We want to pray for our nation. We want to pray for Sister Jeanette Carter. I hadn't talked with Brother Don this week, but Lord willing, I'll be seeing Sister Jeanette and the Kecks between now and Friday. Brother Tommy Mullins, as he's healing up, Miss Phyllis Baker is going to be having surgery, I think, on the 16th. We want to continue praying there. Miss Wilma and Mr. Don Daniels got a text today from Sister Melissa, and things are improving there, to the glory to God. Miss Melanie Lester, Pam and Jasper Brown, Lily Skelton, Burl Jennings, Danny Harvey and the shit swelling in his legs. Michelle and Aaron Robbins, Mary Jane Carter, Delbert and Martha Gillette, Wilma Williams, Susan Lassiter, David Carter, Melinda Starnes, Karen McDavid, Gerald Newton, Charlie Taylor, John Stephanie and Brenda Stenicky, Ivan Scott and family, Lisa Eastep, Betty Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Larry Spears, Deborah Rames, Mickey O'Neill, Rick Swanson, Kyle Lawson, Mike Brown, Carter Smiley, Penny Horton, Brenda Allen, Junior Stidham, Ronnie Owens, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Terry Beeler, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, Gary and Brandy CC, Margaret Williams, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Stanley Williams and Sandy, Jason Knight, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Harley Markham, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdery, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Larry Rasnick's family, Larry Rasnick with Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger and Virginia Eden, John Webb, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans with Opal and Grayson, Gladys and J.T. Jones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Ethan Bowen, Paul Storier, Susie Hill, Carol Carter, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bailey Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Nicholas Patrick, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington Sr., Lottie Johnson, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten and family, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, Ricky Sheffield, all our first responders, those that are in the nursing home and going through that. Also, we need to be in prayer about the situation with the Ukraine and Russia building up their troops on that line, and then also China looking as though they're going to try to overtake Taiwan, I believe, is what's part going on now. So we've got wars and rumors of wars all over the place right now. But praise God, the general is in charge of it all. King Jesus is in control, and we don't have to be worrisome about it. Anyone else tonight that we need to put on here? What was the first name? Freddie. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? Jackie Gillum. Jaden Gillum. It's a big deal when it's you, right? Amen. Anyone else? Through her training. You got a name first? Anyone else? Sir? Yes, sir. I got her name wrote down. I don't know where I ain't called it. Matter of fact, we lifted you up last night at prayer meeting. Did. Anyone else? Gotcha. Continue to pray for those that's dealing with COVID, but also those that's over COVID. You can still hear it in my voice. It's in my lungs, and just can't get it all out, you know, and you just can't do it. And it's you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and no matter what side you choose, all we truly have is trusting in the Lord. That's whether you wear a mask or don't wear a mask, get a shot or don't get a shot. The only hope we have is in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's the only steady and unchanging thing in all of this universe, and that is Jesus, and He's got this. I mean, that's the two things you can always hold fast to. If you notice there in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1, you've heard this. I've taught from this passage before. It's the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. You remember that, how that the widow would go day by day, and she would confess to the unjust judge that so-and-so had taken from her husband, and now she's left empty, and she expects the king to do something about it. And basically, she would do it, and the king wouldn't do nothing about it, but she continued to come on a repetitious way. And basically, we read in that parable there following 18:1 that the judge thinks within himself, not that he really cared about how the people viewed him, but he came to a conclusion that the widow was going to continue to come to him until he did something about it. And so the only reason that he was answered the widow woman's request was because he was tired of her coming. And Jesus goes on to explain how much more does your Heavenly Father want to kind of give you a gift, and that we're to be diligent in prayer. But he goes on to wind up that passage and say, when the Son of Man returns, meaning when Jesus comes back, will he find anyone that is committed to prayer? And that's what verse 1 of chapter 18 is that's how he's beginning it, saying that men and women, believers, need to be a consistent person of prayer. And we know in Thessalonians it tells us that we're to pray without ceasing. And that we're, you know, you can always talk to God. You can all, I mean, some people talk to themselves, but if you need somebody to talk to, his ear is always there to listen. But notice when he says, when he comes back, prayer is a sign of faith. You remember Jesus when he was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, when you pray, he says, don't be like the hypocrites who pray long prayers and use the same type of prayers. But he says, when you pray, enter into your prayer closet and pray in secret, and that the Lord will reward you openly. And so we understand clearly that as individual Christians, prayer is to be a key element in our life. But sometimes what we might forget is that prayer is to be a key element in the life of the body of Christ. Now think about this. In most churches, how much prayer is there really? Let's think about it, okay? So we sing the opening song and then we have a word of prayer, right? How long does that prayer last? Maybe 3 minutes, maybe 2 minutes. And then we get to the point in most churches, thanks God we don't do it this way anymore, but you would have the tithes and offerings, wouldn't you? And then that prayer only, it would only last about a minute, you know, Lord, put your blessing on the money so that the money goes out and does what you wanted to do for your glory, right? That's about it. And then what's the next prayer? The next prayer would be, okay, if you have an altar call, you'd have that prayer right there, but it would be a quick one because the pastor's feeling the pressure. We got to shut this thing down. So that's only about 30 seconds. So we've got about 4.5 minutes of prayer now in a service, right? Am I underestimating here? Matter of fact, I think I'm really overestimating. And then when we close it down, everybody's praying that I don't call on that guy who preaches a sermon in their prayer, right? That we don't want him to close it out. Am I being right? No, I mean, this is it. And so let's say that he does pray and he prays a 3-minute prayer. We got 7.5 minutes of an hour and 15 minute service that's in prayer, right? Look what it says there in Matthew 21 and verses 12 and 13. Jesus went into the temple complex and drove out all those buying and selling in the temple. He overturned it. He overturned the money chambers, tables, and the chairs of those selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of what? But you have made it a den of thieves." Now, we know that in the new covenant, God has said, I will no longer dwell in brick and mortar. But where does he dwell now? If we look over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, around verse 6, it says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God?" So, however, how many of us is in here tonight, each and every one of us is the place where God dwells. And as we come together, we are the temple of God, not brick by brick, but believer by believer. Amen? And don't you think that it would be God's will for us if we were going, one, we know he wants us to be a praying people. Amen? But if we are his temple, do you really think that 7.5 to 8 minutes of prayer is cutting the mustard? I don't think so. I think we should be. And you remember that when I came, that was a part of the vision that I believe God gave, that not only will we be a house of prayer, not only will we be a people of prayer, but that the world may know for the glory of the Lord that when they think about Thomas Village, one of the key things they think about is, man, them some praying people. Notice, Christ commands it. He says that as his people, as his temple, we're to be a place where prayer is prevalent. But I want you to look there in verse Acts chapter 4, verse 31. This is when Paul and the others have been before the Sanhedrin, because you remember what they did. They healed the man at the gate called Beautiful, and they were arrested. And they had all this going on, and then they couldn't do anything. I only beat them. So when they whipped them and told them don't do it no more, they sent them out. And this is the early church. And notice what it says. It says, and when they had prayed, notice, when they did that, this was a part of the early church, right? This was a main description that we find in the first organized Christian church. And what does it say? It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken. The power of God was found in prayer. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at that. The power of the Holy Spirit rising up in the people of God. And it says, and they began to speak the message of God with boldness. What they did in private prayer, remember what he said? Go into your closet and pray, and the Father who sees it will reward thee openly. Look, they were praying together, but all these people were already saved. That speaking the message with boldness happens outside of the prayer time. happens outside of the place where they were, but prayer affected, brought them together for a purpose. Look at this next one. Ephesians 6:19, pray also for me, this is Paul, that the message may be given in to me when I open my mouth to make known the boldness and the mystery of the gospel. Prayer, corporate, united prayer, benefits the preaching of the message. And like I said, I need all that I can get. But the more you pray, the more clearly and distinct the message of God will be. Why? Because that's what you've asked for. And specifically in that portion, I would pray to the Holy Spirit, because He's the one that empowers the preaching of the Word, and He's also the one that allows us to understand the preaching of the Word. That is the role of the Holy Spirit, or one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then on the next page, the next one is that there are consequences for not praying corporately, or for not praying one another. Look at there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He says, first of all, then I urge that petitions, prayer, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Here's a consequence of you praying for everybody that's in your church. You won't be able to stay mad at them. You know that? If you're committed to praying for everybody in the church, even the ones that made you mad last Sunday, when you're committed to praying for them next Sunday, usually God's already dealt with you on that, whatever that issue was, right? It's just the way it is. I think that's like with the Lord's Supper. If there's dissension in the church, I think there ought to be Lord's Supper every Sunday until things is worked out. Let me tell you why. Because you can't come around the Lord's table with unforgiveness and anger. You better not, because He's apt to kill you. I mean, that's what it says, don't it? It says some sleep because they ate of this thing unworthily, right? I wouldn't want to test it. I ain't going to put it to a challenge. But notice it says not only that, it says that we're to pray for kings, and we'll pray to those that are in authority, so that all may lead a tranquil and a peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. Look at America right now and how turmoil there is. You know what? More prayer would help. More people praying for the condition of our nation will help. And I think what we've seen, and I always wondered what's going to happen when the blue hairs die and go to heaven. You know the ones I'm talking about, that praying grandmama. One that would sit down at the piano and sing praises to the Lord. And then she'd sing a little while, she'd pray a little while, shout a little while. That's what Amy's grandmama. She went to a Pentecostal church. We lived in the basement. And she'd forget I was down there. Man, she'd go to playing on that praying, and she'd go to praying. Sometimes she'd pray in the tongues, but I'm just sitting down there listening to what she's doing. But I tell you what, there was power in it. And see, we have to take up those places for those. You know the ones that's going on. The ones you remember being the prayer warriors. The ones you remember saying, if I had anybody pray, that's the one I'm going to have pray for me. We've got to become that to other people. Well, we're fixing to have one. I'm going to call on you to pray. I am going to call on some of you. Notice what it says in verse 3, that this praying is what? It's good. And it pleases the Lord God our Savior. If we're not praying, then what's the opposite of praying and God being pleased with us? We're not praying, and then our God is not pleased with us, right? The consequences. Who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, or come to the place of salvation, is basically what he's saying there. So tonight, I've got these nine things: praise, confession, and surrender. If you remember, that's a part of and these scriptures help build that up. But confession and surrender: our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, as it is on earth, So it be in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our what? Trespasses. I always try to begin my prayer after praise by making confession, because I want to be able for him to welcome me into his presence. And then we're going to pray for lost souls, marriages, homes, pray for our church, pray for our nation. And when we've got protectors, local, I'm talking about the Army, the Air Force, National Guard, our police, both county and city, you know, all those God has given us. And then we'll pray for our church and the ministries. And then I'm going to end us with praise and thanksgiving. And I'm going to start us out with praise and thanksgiving and confessing in prayer. Would anybody like to? And when I ask you to pray, what I'm asking you to do is to come up here and get behind the podium, because people that are watching want to be a part of it. So is there anyone that is willing tonight to take up the prayer for the lost? If you would, just raise your hand. And I'll call you up here when it's time. Anybody to pray for the lost? Brother Keith, will you do it? Okey-dokey. Anybody here tonight wanting to pray for marriages? Brother Johnny Black, you mind coming and praying for marriages tonight? Anyone here want to pray for homes? Brother Gary Bledsoe, do you mind praying over homes tonight? All right. Anyone willing to pray for our church tonight? Sister Tammy, I am going to ask you if you would pray for that, will you? All right. All right, Ken, you got number 7. All right, you got number 7. And then, Brother John, I'm giving you 8 and 9, okay, to church. And then the workers in the church. That sound good? All right. Right now, I do want to invite you to come to the altar. The altar's open. And after we go through, before we close out in the prayer of thanksgiving, if you've not prayed and you feel that the Lord would have you to pray out loud, you go ahead and you do it. So right now, if you would, I invite you to the altar as we just go into a time of Christmas prayer and praise, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, Lord, that we just want to recognize how awesome the privilege of prayer is. It is the means by which our Creator has chosen for His creation to come before your presence. And God, I'm thankful tonight to know, Lord, that You're bigger than my wisdom. You're bigger than my understanding. You're bigger than my wants, my needs. Heavenly Father, Lord, no matter the situation that I face, whether good or bad, whether triumph or whether defeat, You're bigger than both of them. And Lord, when they come into my life, Heavenly Father, Lord, You've allowed them to come in there for a purpose. And so, Lord, I praise You tonight that You do all things well. You've never made a mistake. You've never done wrong. And You've never, Lord, led me into a place that I didn't need to be for some reason or for some purpose. So, God, tonight I just say, blessed be the name of the Lord, the God who is, who was, and who is to come. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God who raised the little boy up from being a shepherd boy into a king. Heavenly Father, Lord, You're the one that took a fisherman and made him into an awesome evangelist. God, You're the one that was able to speak to the waves and the wind, and they had to stop. And Lord, no matter what the situation we're going through right now, You can speak to that situation and it'll be gone. But Lord, You're also the God that raised up Peter and allowed him to walk above the water. And so God, whatever way You choose to do it, whether You calm the storm or raise us up to rise above the storm, we thank You. We praise You. God, You are so, so good. Lord, our mind cannot fathom Your goodness. And God, as we think about that, I come before You tonight confessing to You that I am a sinner. Lord, the thoughts that come across my mind, the things that I'm compelled to do but don't do for Your service. But God, I'm thankful that when You died for the whole of my sin. You died for the life of sin, and you gave me a life of righteousness in Christ Jesus. And again, I thank you and praise you that you do forgive sin. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Brother Keith, would you come and would you pray for the lost tonight? And also, not just the lost, but the backslidden and those that are just in a spiritual bad place. Brother Keith.
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, dear God, I come to you tonight, Lord, and asking you, Lord, to put upon the heart of this church, every church in this county, every church all over the world, Lord, to pray, dear God, that others would come to you, Lord,
yes, Lord,
ask you into their heart and into their lives. I thank you, Father, for years ago for being taken to church, Lord, all my life. And I thank you, dear God, that one day that you put upon my heart that I needed you in my heart. Lord, there's so many around us that knows you not as personal Savior.
Yes, Jesus.
There's so many around us, Lord, that
millions
that don't even want to hear the name of God spoke. And Lord, I pray for those. I just pray, dear God, that you would change their hearts in a mighty way. Dear God, that they would come to you before it's too late. Once they leave this walk of life, it's too late. And Lord, I just pray for every soul in America today. I pray for our leaders, Lord, that they would come to you. They would seek your guidance and your direction. Lord, I ask you, most of all, forgive me, Lord, when I fail you. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins. Lord, when I go out into the community, I just pray that others will see you in me. Lord, we love you. And we thank you, dear God, for each and everything that you do into our lives each and every day. Every day of our life, Lord, you watch over us times that we don't even realize. And Lord, I ask your forgiveness for that. I thank you, dear God, for all you do for us. And Lord, just what a better world it would be if everyone came to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, forgive us, I pray. For it's these things I ask in your precious holy name.
Brother Johnny Black, if you would come and lead us in prayer over marriages. And like I made in the post, the devil doesn't care which marriage he tears apart. He just loves tearing marriage apart because it was established and sanctified by God. But when it is a professing Christian, it's just a little bigger notch in his belt. So, Brother Johnny, over our marriages.
Father in heaven, again, we just humble ourselves before you, thanking you, our Father, for just one more day that you've given us. Thanking you, our Father, for your love, for your peace, your grace, our Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for those stripes, our Father,
yes,
that you shed for us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for that precious blood, our Father, that you shed for our sins. And again, thank you for the Holy Spirit, our Father, that leads and guides us. And most of all, our Father, thank you for the empty tomb, that promise we have for eternity, our Father. And also with that, our Father, marriages. Marriages were two separate ones brought together as one, our
yes,
Father,
Jesus,
one couple. And we just pray, our Father, that you'll bless all the marriages that are around. Those that are struggling and having trouble, our Father, we pray that they'll reconcile and that you'll be able to bring them back together. Father, we know that the only place to do that is through you, that you give us the peace and the love of each other. And our Father, without that love, you know, we can't make it. So I just pray for them, our Father. Just pray that you be with them, that you'll just help us to love each other and help marriages to survive. Ask this, our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Brother Gary Black. Bledsoe, if you would come and pray for homes as they are established by God for us, for a Christian and a stable.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, as I come before you, Lord, we come thankful for the opportunity of prayer. And Father, we know that your ear is always inclined toward us.
Yes.
And Father, we just we thank you for the privilege we have to be able to bow in your presence. And Father, we pray as we humbly come, Lord, we pray for the homes. Lord, for there's so many that are broken.
Yes,
Lord. And then it seems like in our country, God, it's just so prevalent in our society today. And Father, we just pray that as a church, Lord, that we look to you. We look and ask for your guidance, for your help. And Father, that we take our rightful place, Lord, as men, yes, that we will stand and look to you, O God, and trust in you, and ask for wisdom as we stand as priests to the family. And Father, we just we pray for these men, Lord. We pray for the women, Lord, the mothers, that they will put the focus upon the raising of the children, yes, Lord, and give them the word, oh God, the word of life at through our Lord and Savior Jesus. And Father, we pray for the children, Lord, that you give them a receptive heart.
Yes, yes.
And Lord, that they may come to that saving knowledge, that they may look at the father and the mother and know that they are godly and will and trust in you above all else. So Father, we do thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we pray for your strength, for your guidance. We pray that you take all the hard and stony hearts, Lord, and give hearts of flesh, that we may serve you and will bear witness to the truth of the gospel in every situation, Lord. So we give you our homes. We ask for your blessings in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Sister Tammy, if you would come and pray for Thomas Village Baptist Church. And when we say Thomas Village Baptist Church, not the roof, the brick, the doors, but we're praying for every man, woman, boy, and girl that God has sovereignly brought together to make up his body. That is Thomas Village Baptist Church. Sister Tammy.
Father, I just want to thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to bow before you, Lord.
Yes.
And God, as I've been reminded very personally recently, this church body is my family.
Yes.
That I personally know that without this church body, I don't know where I would be today. And God, I am so thankful. And God, I pray for the men and the women, Lord, in this church. I pray for the leaders, Lord, of this church. From our pastor to our deacons, Lord, down to our Sunday school teachers, down to each and every ministry, Lord, down to the ones that clean the church, Lord, for each and every one, Lord. But most of all, God, I pray that each and every one would have a desire, Lord, to grow closer to you. I pray that the men would be willing to lead the other men, the younger men. And I pray that the older women would be ready and willing to teach the younger women, because that is your word, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be a praying church, and we would be praying for the lost, Lord, and that we would be looking to see who we can serve, Lord. And Lord, we would just grow closer together. And Lord, I pray that our children would look back on their church when they get older and remember remember the prayers that were prayed on the altar. And Lord, that they would remember their parents coming to the altar to pray for them and to pray for others. And I will pray, Lord, that they would remember the sermons, Lord, that brought them closer to you. Lord, how we just know, God, that it's not just this church, God, that you have so many, God, that are Bible-believing churches, Lord. And we just pray, God, for our whole church family, Lord, because we are all one. We are one body. But God, I am so, so thankful for Thomas Village. And I'm glad you brought my little family here, Lord, because this is just where we are. This is where we belong. This is our family. And Lord, and whatever it may be that you would have us to do, if just like David said, just to stand at the door is enough, Lord. Lord, just to be in your presence. Lord, to be in your presence in this house and to be with our brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for the family that we have here. And Lord, I pray that more would come and join our family. Our family would just grow, Lord, in spirit, Lord. Oh, I'm so, so thankful for what you will do, Lord, in our lives. In your precious, precious holy name.
Thank you, Sister Tammy. Brother Ken Flannery, if you would come and pray for our nation and our leaders and those that are sacrificing to protect us and bless us.
Father God, as I just humbly bow, I just want to admit my faults to you firsthand. And specifically, I want to lift up the leaders of our country, starting with our president, vice president, the people in the Congress, people in the Senate, well, especially the people in the Supreme Court. It seems we've wavered from, we used to be a praying country that that puts you first, but now it seems like you're just a spare tire that we just pull out when we need it. And we need to get back to putting you first. And we need to have people that are convicted that let our leaders know that God does love them and they need him, and use him for all the godly wisdom and make these decisions that is best for us. And just put your hand of protection around all of them that they will make godly decisions on your behalf, and be with our local leaders in our government, as far as the Commonwealth of Virginia and people in Tennessee or elsewhere may be listening. And we just ask this all in Jesus' name.
Brother John Franklin, would you come and pray for the ministries of Thomas Village, but then also those that God has called and appointed within those ministries? All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come here humble, and Lord, I know that I'm not worthy, Father, Lord, but I just thank you so much for Jesus Christ, and it's in his name, Father, that I come before you right now. I pray, Lord, and lift up all of our ministries here at Thomas Village, that they remain to do the work for you and for Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, Father. Lord, I lift up our Sunday school ministry, Father, Lord, that it remains, that its teachings remain in your word and to your word only, Father.
Hungering after you.
Father, I lift up our Sunday morning and Sunday evening praise services, Lord, right here in this sanctuary, Father, Lord, and lift up our pastor, Lord, just always give him a message, Father, Lord, and that he will just have the boldness to speak the truth that you put on his heart to the congregation always, Father. Be with our music ministry, Lord, as we sing together, as we play music with one another, Father, Lord, and just let all the glory be to you, Father, and always, always. Lord, our choir and our worship team alike, and our orchestra, our piano player, Father, always. Lord, I want to lift up Awana to you right now. Lord, it is so important to reach our children. Lord, their hearts are ripe and their souls are just ready to learn, their brains, their minds. Lord, we just need to take advantage of ministering to our children. I want to lift up our Sowing Bees ministry, Father. Mm. Lord, and all the works that they do for you, Father.
Yes.
Our WOM, Women on Mission, Father. Lord, lift that up to you at this time. Lord, right now, ask my fellow brothers and sisters right now, if you can think of a ministry off the top of your head, Father, say it right now out loud to me, please. If anyone can think of anything else off the top of their head, our visitation, Father, Lord, that we can just go out and to our community and be involved. And Lord, COVID is, we've put that a little bit on the wayside right now, Father, Lord, and when the time is right, Father, to really to go back out into our community, Father, Lord, just may we not hold back to that, Father. Visitation to the lost through evangelism, but also visiting our fellow brothers and sisters and our fellow church members when they're going through rough times. Lord, I lift that up. Lord, I lift up our Hope Christian Ministries, Father, Lord. Lord, and the meals and the clothing pantry, Father, Lord, I lift that up to you, Lord, and through that, may the gospel, may the good news be spread through that. Mm-hmm. Or can anyone else think of a ministry off the top of their head?
Yeah.
Vacation Bible School, Father. Yes, Vacation Bible School. It may just be a once in a year event, Father, Lord, but it is so, so important, Lord. I thank you for everyone who volunteers in that, Lord, to share the gospel and the good news with the children of our community who maybe don't regularly come to church, children and adults alike, Father, who come to the adult VBS during that week. Again, COVID is put a little bit of a strain on that, but we got to have it this past fall, Lord. We did a Saturday VBS, Lord, and I believe that the good news was spread on that day. I thank you for that. May it continue. Thanks. Yes, Lord, a shoebox ministry, Father. We believe Brother Paul said what, over 1,300 shoeboxes total in the region for the region. We're sent out, Father. Lord, I thank you for that, and I praise you, and I give you the glory for that, Lord. And Lord, as the kids who receive those shoe boxes, as they open them up for Father, Lord, receiving toys, personal hygiene items, but most importantly, Father, your word and the truth. And I just lift that up to you. Entrust it to you, Father. Father, I lift up all of our volunteers that help out and volunteer in all of these ministries that have been mentioned so far. Any ministry that I've forgotten and haven't thought of, Father. Or just everyone who helps out and sacrifices their time, Lord, and gives up. Take time out of our own days and our own schedule, Lord, to plan a Sunday school lesson, Lord, through the week, to plan VBS, Lord, to plan a message, a sermon. And even those who may not be teachers, Father, Lord, we lift up everyone who helps out in any way whatsoever, Father, in our church, with our body, Lord. We are one body with many, many members. Thank you for that, Father, Lord. I just humbly pray right now, Father. And again, I just ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother John.
Father God, I do come before you tonight, Heavenly Father, Lord. I just want to lift those up to you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that are dealing with depression. Lord, as we consider this time of year and how it's elevated in suicides and attempted suicides, God, I just pray that if there be that one tonight that's in such a place, Lord, that you'll intervene somehow in some way. Let them know, Lord, that they are loved and that to you they are of great value. And God, I pray for the widow and the widower. I pray for those children, even though they may be adults now, that have lost mother and father. Lord, as they're learning how to live in Christmases and Thanksgivings and other things, God, I just pray that you give them an extra hug this year through the Holy Spirit. Draw them tight to you and just let them know your peace and your love. And God, that no matter the situation, you're going to bring them through. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you know us better than I know myself. And God, you know what I need and you know what I don't need. And you prepare the path ahead of me and you guide my way and you've given me the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, tonight I praise you in that and I pray that you teach me how to be obedient in sacrifice, Lord. So, and I know that if I do that, I'll be a happier person because of your blessings and doing what you want. But my flesh rises up and it points me this way and that way. But Lord, I want to be in the place where your blessings can fall on me. I want our church to be in a place where your blessings can fall on us. I want our individual members and our individual workers to be in a place where your blessings can fall because, Lord, you saved us to bless us. You saved us to life and that more abundantly, Lord. And so, God, pour out those blessings, but let us be willing and have enough wisdom to follow you in those places. And so, God, I just give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, because you are good and your mercy endures. Is there anyone else tonight that just has a word of praise? Come on, sister.
Father God, I come to you tonight praying for the children that are born into circumstances out of their control.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I pray for their innocence to be preserved and that you will place your people in their path so that they may see Jesus through us, Lord, in a place that they may not see at home. Help them to hold on and to be strong. And I pray for those who are dealing with illness, Lord, and asking the question why, mm-hmm. Or trying to find the strength to deal with their personal illness. I pray that they will seek you for that strength, Lord, and that they will help to come to just be able to process and deal with whatever their path may be, yes. Whether it be to be a witness here on earth for us to see how they handle their illness or whether it be to come home to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that are ill, that it not be too late, Lord, that somebody reaches them, yes. And that they come to know you before it is time to go. We do not want to lose anybody to Satan. He has gotten far too many already. I praise you and I thank you. Please help us to continue to spread your word, mm-hmm. And most importantly, just help us to show Jesus.
Anyone else?
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. You see the whole picture, and you've got a plan for us. Lord, not only a plan, but you've got a place for us in your kingdom. And it's not going to be long that you come and claim yours and that we enter into that kingdom. And we don't understand how all the end times work and all of that, but we right now, may not be this way in an hour, but in this moment, thank you for your Spirit being so prevalent. And we want to join in with Him. We want to join in with John, the writer of Revelations, and declare, "Even so, Lord, come now. Even so, Lord, come now. And if you tarry, let it be for the cause of the souls of our loved ones and those around the world." And all God's people said, amen. How many of you remember cottage prayer meetings? I remember when cottage prayer meetings were, somebody got up, read a few verses of Scripture, and then you spent 30 minutes to 40 minutes, maybe an hour in prayer, and then you got to eat real good. But as I got older, I began to notice that it became less and less about the praying and more about a lesson being taught and then eating. The devil doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't. He can't stand services like this, because the most powerful place that a believer can be found is where? On their knees. That's exactly right. That's the most powerful place. God bless you. Y'all have a good week, and we'll see you Sunday morning, if not before. I see some of you at the luncheon.